under here somewhere. I have some notes that will probably be helpful. I've sent Michael out to do the errands. How many of you were here last week? If you want to wave at me. Yeah, most of you. But I guess for those that weren't, we'll do a little bit of recap. This is week two. We're talking about the promises of God, which is a series over the next couple of weeks. And what I tried to do last week, whether I was successful or not, was sort of lay the foundation, because it's important to understand, thanks Mike, the promises of God in context. So we looked a little bit. If you want to put slide one up for me, please. Okay. We looked at the literal word for promise. We looked at both sort of the Hebrew words and the Greek words. Then we talked about there couldn't be other words. You make an oath or you make a vow. It's the same as making a promise. And then we spent a little bit more time looking at the idea of covenant, because the Old Testament's full of the idea of covenant. I think I'm going from memory here. It's about 256 times in the Bible, the word covenant. So it's very important. And we looked at four in particular. We spent a bit of time looking at the covenant with Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David. And we suggested out of that there were sort of four themes: restraint, regeneration, relationship, and redemption. Ring any bells with anyone? Do you remember that? Those of you who were here. Lisa's got notes. She's going to check up on me. What I forgot to do, slide two, I forgot to tell you three big words. Ooh, you'd all like to learn some theology, wouldn't you? We're going to do this for the next 2 hours. Is that okay? So, simply three words. Omniscience means he knows everything. Omnis from the Latin meaning all. He knows all things. Past, present, and future. What that means to me is God's never surprised. Never surprised about anything in our lives, and never surprised about anything going on in world politics or in the world. We sometimes think, what's going on? But can I reassure you, God knows all about it. Secondly, omnipotence. Potent is power, all power. He's got all power, which means he can do what he said. You know, sometimes people make promises, don't they? And they let us down. A lot of the songs we're singing today, and we've been singing the last week or two, is about God being faithful. He never lets us down. He's got the ability to make good what he said. You look at some of the stuff in the Old Testament, you think, wow, he parted the Red Sea. He stopped the sun in the sky. Brought people back to life, even in the Old Testament. Amazing. And last, immutability. If something mutates, it changes. God doesn't mutate. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? It's constant. We've got somebody we can rely on. He doesn't change. So some of the stuff he says to us through the Bible means we can hold on to it. So those three things are important. You may not want to learn the big words, but if you get the concept, he knows everything. He's all-powerful. He doesn't change. Important things. Today, I think I want to look a little bit more of how the promises apply to us. Last week, we sort of laid the groundwork, making sure we understand why God had a covenant and what promises mean. I've got four questions. If you want to put the next slide on. How did we obtain a promise? So, obviously, you go to Morrison's and buy them, don't you? How do we get a promise from? We're talking about promises of God. How do we obtain one? How do we get one? If we do get one, what do we do with it? How do we use it? How do we look at it? Here's an interesting one for you. Can the promise change? I've just said to you, God doesn't change. Can God's promises change? Ooh, answers on a postcard. Number four, how do we keep the promise? No, not that one. Next one. Go back one. Keeping the promise fresh in our hearts and mind. It's important. If God has given us a promise, We keep hold of it, we make it fresh. How do we do that? I'm hoping to answer these. We'll see how we do. So firstly, how do we obtain a promise? And just a quick reminder here, somewhat you'll know, but I've got my highlighter out if you like. These are the promises of God. These are the promises of God. And as a writer, before I say anything else, in a sense, to get a promise of God has got to come by revelation. God has got to reveal himself. He does that in various ways. We'll go on to that. But everything, it's got to come by revelation. You can't work it out naturally. If you're looking to do it naturally, without being unfair, you've got it wrong. We're talking about spiritual stuff here. I say this often and remind you, when people say we're only natural, I say I'm not, I'm supernatural. God has put his spirit inside of each of us, hasn't he? If you walk in through those doors, and most of you do every Sunday, I bet nobody ever looks to the left. There's a stone there that says, this building was erected. Signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. We're Pentecostal in our understanding. We're Holy Spirit based, aren't we? Hello? Yes. So it's important. How do you obtain a promise? I've said by revelation, but more than that. The next slide, please. Here's an interesting scripture for you. This is Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God knows stuff we can't get into. Because this is breaking news for you. Hey, we're not God. But he has revealed some stuff to us that we can get hold of. It's one of my other sort of sayings. Some things you don't need revelation for. If God has already told us in his word and we accept his word is scripture, every word is God-breathed, and we've read it, we already know that. But other things, personal stuff, he needs to tell us, give us his secrets. If somebody whispers to you, you have to get a little bit closer to hear them. If you want to hear God's promises, sometimes you've got to get a bit closer and let him whisper into your life. God has certain things in his knowledge we don't know. This man on the front here, Mr. Brown, he's panicking now. What's he going to say? We have been friends for over 50 years. He probably knows some stuff even my wife doesn't know about me. Because friendship means you build up a trust and a confidence when you get close to people. You share stuff. You impart yourself. When we get close to God, he knows everything about us anyway. But we learn more about him. And we have our secrets. I sometimes think when I'm praying, oh, don't show anyone about my life, God, I'll get upset. It's okay, I can cope with that. But it's important to get close. God, relationship takes time and trust. It takes a while to actually trust somebody to share what's in your heart, sometimes to be open about who you are. Oh, many of us hide behind personalities, don't we? We could put up a screen. I'm good with humour so it can deflect stuff. People don't know what's going on. Because sometimes you're a bit frightened of letting them in, aren't you? Got to let God in. I'm on shaky ground with this. I put in my notes. Katie Ann sat here. God only speaks to us in four major ways, I think. This is probably important. Here's what I think they are. The next slide, please. And I've done you a little acronym here. SHOW. He speaks to us through the scripture or his word. I've got my little Bible here. The Bible. That's how God speaks to us. Can I say, and I've dealt with some people in the past, when I was involved in ministry at Nottingham, David, in his wisdom, Mr. Sherman, used to send me out to see people who are a little bit, shall we say, not quite with it, who'd heard from God, but some of what they were doing didn't match up with what was in the Bible. And we have to say, if it doesn't match up, I don't care how many days you've been praying and fasting, it's not right. Sorry, that's going to offend some people, but if it is, it is what it is. It's got to agree with the word, hasn't it? God speaks to us through his word by his Holy Spirit. Scripture says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. God has put within us a supernatural bit that communicates with somebody who's not human. God is a spirit, John 4 says. Supernaturally, God communicates by his spirit. It's a scripture I often quote because I try and get it into my understanding. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. If you're trying to do things for God in your own strength, here's news, you're going to fail. I've tried it, been there, got the t-shirt, and it don't work. The Spirit's got to energize us. So through his Spirit, through other people. God speaks to us through each. Sometimes it's why it's important meeting together as a church. Somebody can share a word from God with you. Did you know that? That's what Scripture teaches. When you come together, one has a psalm, one has a hymn, one has a word of prophecy. Coming together, obviously everything needs to be tested. The Bible says, test and try the spirits to approve if they're from God. Thought you were waving at me then, Jennifer. You're just stretching. That's okay. Thought I've got a question in the middle of me preaching again. Oh, no. And then I've put in circumstances in our life. So through events, God speaks to us. We'll use this language. I'll talk about it more about doors opening and closing. Through circumstances, if you spiritually got your eyes and ears open, you can see God moving in situations in your life. Those are the way God works. There may be more, but those are the main ones in my understanding. Through the Bible, through his Spirit, through other people, through circumstances, God speaks to us. In fact, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, doesn't it? Man is without excuse. So when you have that thing where somebody says, well, I've never read a Bible, hang on a minute, it says you're without excuse. Oh, I'll be treading on people's toes. Next slide. This is one of my favourite verses in all the Bible, two verses. Romans 12, 1-2. Paul speaking to the church at Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Sometimes we don't know the promises of God or understand what he's saying because guess what? We've not presented ourselves. Somebody said, I don't know where I got it from, a quote somewhere. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Have you submitted everything to him? Or you're a bit like me sometimes. You got something going on and you start making moves and at the end of it you start praying. You think, what went wrong there? I should have prayed at the start. Present yourselves to God. I was thinking when I prepared this, I can't remember the song Katie Anne probably. That one was singing, I'll go anywhere, anywhere with you. Will you? Really? But sometimes we're so busy organising our own agenda, we haven't made time for him. We've made our plans, we've prayed our prayers. If you're not in it, well, you don't want it. I think it's Proverbs says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Whether you like it or not, he'll get his way. And again, don't get upset. Did you know he's in charge? You're not. I'm not. He is. It's important, Romans 12, if you want to know the will of God, present yourself. I've said it before, Paul says this thing that frightens me when I read it. I die daily. He means spiritually, he submits himself on a daily basis, saying, Lord, this body is for you to use. Use what I speak. Use where I go. Use my actions to influence people. We're all evangelists, aren't we? We are living epistles known and read of all men. People are not looking at the book, they're looking at you. They're looking at us to see what we do. Mark says this often, but another scripture I think, wow, have they got that wrong? The church is going to display the manifold wisdom of God to the world. One of the songs we sing, did you know we're the hope of the world? Us. Wow, what a thing. Don't get too excited, I could be there a long time. The text talks about a number of things. We must present ourselves. He is Lord, we are servants. Sylvia and I were talking about this the other week. She talked about Larry Norman, a guy I grew up listening to. He used to have a song called, I Am Your Servant. I am waiting for your call. Is that how it went, Michael? You'll know better than me. I am your servant. Literally in the Greek, doulos, it means slave. None of us particularly want to be a slave. But actually, if he's Lord, we're his servant. Present yourselves holy and pleasing to God. We've got to put off the old and put on the new. Try as we can through the Spirit to be holy. Then we will know the will of God. I've put here in my notes, put yourself in a position to hear God's promises to you. Put yourself and say, well, Lord, I empty myself of whatever's going on. Fill me with what you've got for today. What are you saying to me? Book of Lamentations says his mercies are new every morning. Isn't that great? Whatever happened yesterday, it's a new day. Next slide, please. What did we do with the promise we have received? How many of you still have things belonging to your parents? Maybe some of them have died. Mementos, souvenirs, photos, people waving at me. So naturally, we cherish things connected with promises and memories, don't we? Naturally. One of the things I always remember, I may have shared it before, I was talking to Mike a while ago about preaching, say sometimes you get embarrassed about sharing illustrations of your own life, but in a sense, it doesn't change. What happened, happened. I remember when my mum died, she used to have a cabinet in the front room. We weren't allowed in the front room, if you're like me. You're the sort of the parlour, you know. She used to have this cabinet with about three shelves on it, glass thing that opened with a key in it, things on there. And when she died, my sisters and I came in emptying the house, opened the cabinet. There was this little chalk figure thinking, what is that? Something I won at the fair when I was about eight. You know, one of those things where you throw a coconut shy or whatever. And I couldn't remember, it wasn't a fish in a bag. A chalk figure that my mum kept. Thought, wow, what a thing. Have you got mementos like that? I've got some with me here today. I was fortunate yesterday. I went out for lunch at Miller and Carter, which my son paid for. I was over in Kidsgrove meeting my middle son. Here we go. South Cheshire Schools Football Association Cup Final, 98-99. Why have I got that? Because my son played in it. Daniel played in it. Played for Allsager, his school team. Sentinel Cup first semi-final, Allsager Town v League Town. Daniel played in it. Final at the Britannia Stadium, Allsager Town v Northwich Vicks. My son played in it. I'm going back 20-odd years, probably when he's 30. I've kept souvenirs that are precious. Here's one for you, Michael. This is going to embarrass my wife. Do you remember going to this dinner? Norman Whiteside? Actually, tomorrow, this is dated May the 7th, May the 11th, 2007. What date are we on today? Tomorrow will be 19 years since I went to this event. So that's nothing for you. It's a United thing. It's Norman Whiteside. What happened on that night, Michael? He can't remember. He can't remember. This is Mr. Whiteside. Little picture he signed. You got a picture and he signed on the back. Normally, these sort of things, get on it. Best wishes, Norman Whiteside. Mine says, be lucky. I was very lucky that night because Michael gave me the phone number of a young lady. She sat here, happens to be my wife. He can't remember. That's great. It's a very significant night. So after the seventh one on the list, when I found... He doesn't mean that. He gave me Sue's phone number on that night when I went to that. So Mr. Whiteside was right. I wasn't lucky. I did better than that. But I remember that night, not just about the football, but the phone call led to us. We're now been married 18 years from that event. Norman was right. I've got pictures here that I have by my desk. My mum and dad, I'll get a bit emotional if I'm not careful. Little Catholic thing, they give you memorials and prayers. We keep mementos, things that are precious to us. What do you do with the promises of God? How precious are they to you? Do you remind yourselves about them? Have you got them written down anywhere? Are they in here? Are they up there? Where are they? Or have you, is it sort of gathering dust somewhere and you thought, oh yeah, I'll come to that at some point? What should we do with the promises of God? Put on here, care for them. Care for them. Cherish them. Cling to it. When time gets rough, I run to his word. Because God's promise is forever to me. And also, when I get those doubting voices, and we all get them, I have to go back to what God has said. God has said. We all get that voice in our head from time to time, don't we? Has God said? Has God said? Speak out in prayer the promises of God has given to you. It's interesting, when I was originally at the meeting with the leadership talking about the promise of God, Katie Ann went round the room and said, what's God's promise to you? What's your go-to? And I immediately said, Psalm 16, but I was able to quote it. I said, that's interesting. Well, it's not really, it's precious. You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Why have I memorised it? Because it's a promise of God to me. And when it gets tough, I remind myself, no, hang on. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. God has assigned me my portion and my cup. I don't care, devil, what you say. This is what God has said. And I quote it. I would encourage you, if you're not in the habit of it, quote scripture sometimes when you're praying. God's word never returns void. The word is living and active, the Bible says. Speak out through prayers. Two, I often say this thing. My mentor, Mr. Shearman, Dave Shearman, said to me years ago, I've always remembered, two reasons people don't achieve anything. One is they don't start, and two is they don't keep going. Can I say to some of you, with the promise of God, you need to keep going. Don't let it lie there. Keep going. Keep praying over it. Keep saying to God, hey, God, can I remind you? You said to me, this is going to happen. I'm looking to you for it to happen. And we're like, that's how we should be. Jesus shares the illustration. Only keep knocking. Hello, God, are you there? Here I am knocking at your place of business, Michael. It's a quote from Paul Simon, only he would know that. Can the promises of God change? Next slide, please. I put the answer is yes and no. Why? God gives us promises forever, and he also gives us promises that are for a season or for a time. Related to a particular thing you're praying about. So I think they can. My forever promise is Isaiah 50 verse 4, if you want to put the next slide on. When I was praying, I went to Bible college in 1979. And what was happening in those days, you would be sent out every weekend to lead meetings and preach to learn your trade or craft, as it were. I ended up preaching at a church in Nottingham who invited me to take over as the pastor in Calverton in 1981, I think. A mining village. Didn't go so well. I was there 2 years and found it really hard. And I was starting to think to myself, maybe I'm in the wrong thing. Maybe I haven't got any gift at all. It may surprise you, those of us up the front here sometimes have doubts about our gifting and abilities. And I was at that point. And God spoke to me through this verse. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And every time I've ever doubted my ministry and my gift, I'll go back to this verse. I believe my gift is to teach. That's what God has told me. He's given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. If I'll spend time with him morning by morning, he opens my ear like one being taught. I've got to hear from God, haven't I? We can all prepare stuff, but unless God breathes on it, it's a waste of time. So I go back, when I doubt myself, I go back to this and say, God has told me. You get that voice saying, oh, you're rubbish. Or sometimes people are kind enough to say rubbish things to you after you've preached. It happens. You have to go back to what God has said. Without being on, I don't care. God has said. What's your forever promise? What do you go to? Interesting. So whenever I have those doubts, I'll go back to what God has promised. I've put here, sometimes promises are for a season or a time. When I was at Nottingham, I was going out with a girl from Bible College. We got engaged, moved towards marriage. I was living in Nottingham at the time, looking after the church with a guy who worked down the pit. He worked in the mine in Calverton. And he agreed to sell me his house. So there we were engaged. I was in leading the church, moving into his house, he was going to sell it. 2 weeks before we were due to get married, he changed his mind and said, I don't want to sell my house to you. I'm like, that's good, isn't it? I've got 2 weeks, I'm going to get married, got nowhere to live. What do you do? Panic. Pray. That's what you do. And God gave me what I would call a seasonal scripture. Next slide, please. Job 36:16. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. What's all that about? There I was 2 weeks away from getting married, nowhere to live. And the guy who was mentoring me, David Sherman, said, come and live with me. I spent time in David Sherman's house. Some of you will know, I've said it before, I have a love for the Psalms. It comes from listening to David get up at 6 a.m. praying the Psalms. I learned from that man in his house. My table was a spiritual one. It wasn't a natural one. God put me in a place where I would never have dreamed to have been. I was in a place of distress. Then I was in a spacious place, free from restriction. What a thing. Only God can do stuff like that. Maybe he's given you a particular verse. Maybe it's about a job. Maybe it's about a person. Whatever. Keep praying over it. Very important. How do we keep it fresh? Next slide, please. Am I okay? Are you with it? Write it down. Frame it. Look at it. Commit it to memory. We generally have pictures of children mostly up in our house, grandchildren. Occasionally my picture appears now and again, but not as much as the kids. Have you got anything about your promise written anywhere? I remember years ago, sat in a room at Nottingham, part of the leadership there, big church, about a dozen of us in leadership. We had a young man come and speak to us, Beryl, who went round the room with a dictaphone as he prophesied over us. His name was Ray Bevan, who you'll remember well. And I had that typed out. But it typed out of what God said to me. The other thing I remember coming, I think I was sat round about this seat here. Sat about here. When Jim Bowler was leading the meeting, as he walked up and down, he said to me, "I've got a word from God for you. Do you want to hear it?" I said, "No, I'm not bothered what God says." No, I said, "Obviously, yes." I used to have it on cassette tape. I've still got it at home somewhere. What Jim actually said that day was recorded, and I looked at it. Very accurate. God's promise to me. What have you done with God's promise to you? Got them written down anywhere? Here's one for you. Just makes me laugh, this, but never mind. Any of you into this sort of scenario about, what's he called, Russell Brand, who says he's become a Christian? No. He had an interview on TV with someone, I can't remember who it was with. Piers Morgan. And he said, "Yeah, my favourite Bible verse is," and he couldn't find it. Give me a break. If God has spoken to you and you don't know where the Bible verse is, get out. You're having a laugh, aren't you? Listen, if you don't know where it is, here's one for you. Use the index if you can't find out where the book is. But if God's spoken to you about a verse, you should know where it is. It's not up to me where the man's at. But you can't say, "God has given me this significant verse in my life, but I don't know where it is." Really? I can tell you where mine are. Can you tell me where yours are? Has God spoken to you through his word? When it gets tough, you need to remind three people of your promise. You need to remind God. You have said. Remind yourself. God has said to me, it's for me. Some of us don't feel worthy of receiving something from God. I want to tell you, according to the Bible, we're all saints if we've come to Christ. And then, of course, we need to remind our enemy, don't we? Need to remind the one who opposes, say, God's word says. If it gets tough, I remind myself the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Or I might go to Isaiah 54:17. I don't think this is on the slide. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. You shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So I feel stuff coming against me. I say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. What do you go to? Interesting, isn't it? In Ephesians 6, I think I finished there on my notes. Ephesians 6, Paul says, put on the armour of God. Two things we've got to do after that. Having done all, stand. Yeah. Got to stand our ground. If it gets a bit wobbly and you're off retreating, you're not going to see anything. What was it that song say? The storms may come. The storms come. I will praise your name. Again, another one of my little sayings, if you like. Don't praise God for everything, but in everything. When bad stuff comes, I don't say, "Oh, thank you, God, for that." I praise God in it, through it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will silence every tongue. Sometimes the best way of dealing with stuff is not saying anything but going and praying. If you're like me, you can say stuff too quickly and then regret it. Go and give yourself a few seconds and pray. I'll finish there. God's promises are important. Do we cherish them? How do we get them? Well, how are you on spending time daily in this, reading God's word? Say, oh, well, I don't need that. Well, you're better than I am then, because I need it. This is how God speaks to me generally. I'm very word-based. Sometimes we need to share our promises with others. We've got confidences. What do you think? Other times we need to say, well, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going ahead. It's important, but you've got to know the difference. But God's promise should be something significant in your life. We sing it, and I feel myself getting emotional today again singing it. Our God is an awesome God. You're telling me the one who created everything takes time out to speak to me. Wow. Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What an awesome God we serve. Get hold of God's promises. If you want to talk to me about some of the things God has said, that's okay. I'm here. I'm okay to talk to you. But more than anything, don't lose them. Keep hold of them. Stand on them. Pray over them. Tell other people, no, this is what God has said. You don't believe that rubbish, do you? Yeah, God has said. God has said. I'll stop there. Thank you for listening.